There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is Pigs.com writer Matt Weaver. We're here to discuss the big news in the Big Ten, which is the scheduled drop for conference opponents for 2024-2025 football seasons as the Big Ten welcomes in the USC Trojans and the UCLA Bruins. My initial thought, Matt, is thank goodness the Big Ten East is done. And IU is out of the Big Ten East. It is something that fans have wanted basically since the divisions were created. It's you get two new opponents coming in. IU will face them in the first 2 years. UCLA comes to Bloomington in 2024. And IU goes out to USC in the Coliseum. I know that's not the road trip that IU fans were hoping for in the new additions, but in 2025, IU will go out to LA and play USC. The other takeaways from this schedule, I'm happy. Purdue is the only protected rivalry, which is it's good for IU. It's good for Purdue. I think it's good for the Big Ten as well. And also something under the radar. So IU only has one protected rival, but they have two play teams, which means they'll play them both in 2024 and 2025. And one of them is Michigan State. I thought that old brass platoon game had become more contested over the last, basically over the last decade. Since, 2016, IU won it. They've won it three times since then. There have been some really close contested games as well. I'm glad to see that stay on the schedule. But, Matt, what are your initial thoughts from the schedule drop?
Well, just when I was looking at it, 24, obviously, not to say it's an easy schedule, but it's definitely more manageable than the one that Indiana's been playing for the last several years, being in the East Division. Obviously still some quality opponents, but, you don't get Michigan, you don't get Ohio State. I can't remember the last time Indiana hasn't played either of those schools. 25 is obviously a little bit more difficult. It's kind of like the old Big Ten East schedule form. You just kind of replace Penn State with USC. And it's out there. So that one's a little bit tougher. As far as the way the Big Ten did it, we were kind of talking before off air. It's just interesting. And I kind of heard this, that there may be some teams that have only one protected game or rivalry, and then some others may have two or even more. And obviously, Iowa's got three protected rivalries. Whereas Penn State has zero. And there's, some teams with just one. So it's just kind of interesting. I think of the big boys, I think Ohio State got the, you can argue Ohio State got the best break because they obviously get Michigan as a protected game, but then it's Illinois, Northwestern, and nothing against those programs. But obviously, those are easier games than what it could have been lined up with a Penn State or maybe a USC or something like that. Something you mentioned to me that was interesting is we won't see Ohio State and USC, I think, until 25. Yep. Which you think, you would think that maybe that might have been a game they would have tried to, with the new conference in 24, you might try to have that. I mean, you could have seen that game be like one of the first week games on like either a Friday night or Saturday in one of those prime games. But it's interesting that they're not going to play till 25. But it's obviously, it's still going to be tough. I mean, you're adding, two USC, right? Is arguably a top 10 program, and UCLA has had obviously their moments. So the Big Ten's still going to be tough, but it makes everything more manageable for Indiana, with the caveat being they schedule the right way in the non-conference. And I know this is something that you've really harped on. And I know Louisville's a game that we have talked about. They need to get out of that after obviously they can't do it this year. But for 24 and 25, you need to get out of those games and schedule somebody that's more manageable because you're still going to be playing nine, pretty difficult games.
Yeah, and it's been the whole big talk with the SEC trying to go to nine games or staying at eight games and things like that. you could argue that teams are playing two different sports. Like Ohio State and Indiana, they're playing two different sports. The end game is totally different. For Ohio State, it's to get into the playoff, win the Big Ten title, win a national title. For IU, it's to get to the postseason. And in order to do that, and I think for the Big Ten, in the Big Ten's best interest too, you want the bottom of your conference to be better. You want to lift the floor of your conference. And that's what the SEC does. That's why they're waiting around to see what this 12-team playoff does in 2024. Are they going to get dinged for playing eight games, playing that FCS opponent? Or will it not matter where, you know, you want to get Vanderbilt the best shot to get to a bowl game. You want to get, you know, Mississippi State or Arkansas or, you know, Kentucky or, you know, teams that are on the level of an IU, Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern, those, you know, mid to low level teams, you want to get them to six wins, get them to the postseason, because that's what these strength of schedules, we're playing in the SEC and we're playing eight really, really good teams. Well, they base those off of like 13 out of 14 SEC teams went to bowl games. They don't mention that Kentucky went 6-6 and lost to Iowa in whatever, the Music City Bowl or whatever bowl they played it. So I think in the best interest of the Big Ten and the best interest of IU, they need to get out of this Louisville series. You might take a PR hit, but you know what? You got to get to six wins. And if that means dumping Louisville after this year, that's fine with me. It should be fine with IU alumni as well. The 2024 schedule, Matt, as you said, is super manageable. If people haven't seen it, we have it up on our site as well. But IU in 2024, the home games, you get Maryland, Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, and UCLA. I like to judge schedules by matchup opponents. You could say they have three matchup opponents at home. You got Maryland, Minnesota, and Purdue. And then you have two matchup opponents on the road with Northwestern and Michigan State. Your other road games are Nebraska and Wisconsin. That is probably the easiest conference schedule that IU has had in, I would say at least a decade, if not a little bit more. 2024 is going to turn into a big year. I think we both believe that Tom Allen's going to be back in 2024, unless it's a total disaster this year. Like talking 0-12 and something crazy, like unforeseen craziness happens. I would expect Allen back in 2024. You have to use this season to build momentum to go into that schedule. Because of the flex scheduling, you're going to have a hard schedule like 2025. But for Indiana, you have to take advantage of the years that you get the schedule like 2024. You have to make those the years that you go, oh, now we can make a little bit of a run. This is the year that you can win 6, 7, 8 games. And then, you know, with the non-conference schedule for 2025, you got to get those three wins, because the 2025 schedule, like you said, Matt, you bring Michigan and Ohio State back on the schedule. You replace USC, Penn State with USC. You also get Iowa at home, and Iowa's always tough. And then you have to go to Maryland, Purdue, USC, Illinois. Your home games are Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Rutgers. That's a game where you're going to struggle to get six wins, and you need to schedule three wins in the non-conference. And I don't know if the conference would give you a heads up for 26, 27, 28, and down the road in terms of this flex protection schedule, but you should know how difficult your schedules are down in the future when you're scheduling these games 5, 6, 7 years out to go, hey, this is a year we need to schedule light in the non-conference. Or this is the year we could afford to schedule like Notre Dame or Louisville or a team like that. So, you know, it's going to take a little bit of foresight with IU to look ahead and do that. But overall, I think IU fans should be happy with this schedule. And we'll see what happens down the road with this flex protect plus scheduling model. I'm happy they didn't go to 10 conference games. I'm happy they didn't do pods, because you get to see some opponents that IU hasn't seen in a while. You know, Northwestern, you get Minnesota as well. Iowa, they haven't played recently outside of that trip in 2021 and stuff like that. Plus, you get Ohio State and Michigan off of there. So, you know.
Yeah, just look at the 24 schedule. It's kind of interesting. Sorry, it's just kind of interesting going game by game. Usually you go through the last decade or however long it's been, and you know, you go, okay, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, you're kind of looking at three losses. Obviously you got Penn State, but there's a lot of games where you have a chance. I'm not saying they're going to win or they're winnable, but there are games where you can compete, and it's like you said, you call them matchup games. You know, and I think that's a good, I think that's a good way to describe it. There's a number of those games on here when you go through the schedule where, you know, if you have a legit shot to come away with a win, and you're not walking into a game where you're basically like, let's not get hurt and let's not get hammered so bad that it's, you know, carries over for the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, yep. One loss becomes three losses or something like that. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, obviously we've been banging the table for a while that the divisions were a joke, to be perfectly honest. That's as nice as I can be. It was the varsity and the JV for a decade. There's a reason why the West, I don't think they've ever won the Big Ten championship, right? Yeah. There's a reason why. It just was not even remotely close, not even remotely evenly balanced. And it showed, but the bottom line is now you've got to take advantage, like you said, of this 24 season. You've got to take advantage of this. I mean, I don't want to try to make any predictions. You don't know even what the roster is going to look like from year to year anymore because of the portal. But if you put together a solid team, this is a legit 8-win with a little bit of luck. You could maybe win another game or two. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but this is a schedule where you could get that many wins. You know, if you put it together and you know, obviously the staff does their job and they've got the right roster, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, I wasn't sure how to feel when USC and UCLA joined. I got it, but it's kind of, I think it's going to be kind of fun to see. I mean, you know, I don't know about we're definitely not road tripping to the Coliseum. I know that, but it'll be interesting to maybe do a road trip out there. I've never been there before. I've been to LA, but never to the Coliseum. So in 25, you know, hopefully you can make that trip and get to see it for the first time.
Yeah, well, we road trip to Nebraska with Robbie. I can't imagine another 2,000 miles after that with you guys.
Exactly.
He just pushed me out of the car in the Rockies somewhere, and I'll get there myself. But it's an exciting trip. It's exciting to have these two teams on there. You also get that late window in the TV schedule too when you come home from an IU game or any Big Ten game. And you want to watch football, decompress at home. There's going to be that late night game there as well. It's just adding more product. Now, I don't necessarily love where the sport is heading as a whole, but I think the schedule is a net positive for IU. I do think it ups the stakes for 2023, though, because you cannot bomb this year. You have to go into that schedule with some momentum and take advantage of it. And that now puts a little bit more pressure on IU, because if you could get 6 wins this year and build some momentum, get to a bowl, you're setting yourself up to get to another bowl in 2024. I know it's way too early to start looking at schedules that far out and things like that, but yeah, you got to start thinking long term a little bit. And then also, there could be a lot of coaching changes in the Big Ten over the next couple of years. You know, it's Gary Barta, our favorite athletic director, a former athletic director in the Big Ten, is out at Iowa. There are a lot of scandals there, a lot of scandals I didn't even know about with Ferentz and Ferentz's son, Brian Ferentz. So maybe Iowa becomes one of those teams that goes into some transition. You look at Mel Tucker in Michigan State, although his contract is outrageous. You know, if he has another down year or maybe two down years, does that change? And then, you know, something that I thought I'd never say, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. You know, he's coming off of two really, really bad years at Northwestern last year, 1-11. So there could be some significant changes in the landscape in the Big Ten by then, and IU might be catching these teams at the right time. And that's the luck factor that you go into it a little bit too. You catch these teams at the right time. And in the past, IU hasn't taken advantage of it. You know, you caught Michigan in a time of transition. You couldn't really get over the hump. Eventually you did in 2020. You had Ohio State in a bit of transition in 2011. Now IU was in transition too, but you got real close from 2011 to 2015, 2016. IU gave Ohio State fits. Can you catch some of these teams in transition? And that to me is looking at the schedule and just reading the landscape of the Big Ten. Can you catch some of these teams in transition? Or you could throw Rutgers in there as well. You know, I don't know if they could get a guy better than Greg Schiano, but he hasn't taken that next step either. So, you know, we'll see. Who's the biggest winners? Who are the biggest losers in the conference from this realignment?
Well, I mean, are you talking about the way they've done the schedules or just overall?
Let's do overall.
Let's be honest. I think the teams in the East outside of Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are winners here. I mean, because you're not playing those three teams every year. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have, like I said, tough games, but those are three. Those all three of those teams for this season are top 10. And, you know, they're, I think Ohio State, Michigan's like, I think might be the highest ranked. They're both in the top five. I think Penn State's right there in the, right at the top 10. So it's like three top 10 teams almost every year. So I think, I mean, you could kind of put Indiana and Maryland and Rutgers and Michigan State in a hat. And, you know, I think this is a break for those four teams, because you're not playing those three teams every year. I think based on, like I mentioned earlier, I think Ohio State got a break. Obviously, they're going to have Michigan, but I think Illinois, like if you look at, like I before we came on air, they got Illinois, Northwestern, Michigan gets Maryland and Michigan State. Nothing against those teams, but I would rather play Illinois, Northwestern than Maryland, Michigan State. And it's just interesting that's the draw that they got. I think the way they've redone this, I would say Ohio State really got a break. I mean, just kind of looking at it. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think the teams in the East outside of the Big Three are the winners because you get rid of the divisions, you know, and then some of the losers are probably some of the teams in the West who now have to start playing. I mean, a coach told me this at Indiana over an 8-year period. Obviously Indiana played Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan 24 times. I think Purdue played them like less than 10 over the same period of time. I mean, it was like single digits. And obviously we bring up Purdue because they're the rival, but it was just so incredibly unbalanced. And it was probably like that for a lot of those teams in that division. We just kind of focus on Purdue because we're at Indiana, but, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, how this schedule affects things. But I kind of like it. I thought the scenario that we had talked about where you had did like the 3-6 model, I think that's what you called it, where you had three teams that you played all the time. Then you kind of rotated, I think, among the other six from year to year, however they did it. That was kind of interesting. So it'll be interesting to see in a couple years, 2 years, 3 years of doing this, do they stay with it? I mean, I would assume they would, but or is there going to be some people pissing and moaning about how it's worked out, and do they try to do something different? But I kind of like the model, and it'll be fun to kind of watch it play out.
Yeah,
and looking at 24 real quick from a selfish point of view, really the only bad road trip is Nebraska. Like, this might be the easiest season of road trips that I've ever seen covering Indiana. I mean, everything is really close, pretty much.
I have to say that. Now there's going to be construction on every highway going to Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin.
It's not bad. It's really not bad. I was like, wow, this is pretty – you know, now we'll probably, when I say that, 69 will be all screwed up. So every home game will be like going to like Penn State. it'll take us forever because the 69 will be all messed up and we'll have to like sit in traffic for, you know, 2 hours. But yeah, knock on wood, that's the easiest road trip schedule I can remember since covering this program.
Yeah, I think the big winners here are, Rutgers, Indiana, Maryland in the East. You get out of that beast of the Big Ten East. Going schedule-wise, man, Illinois takes a hit. Illinois goes from the West. Then in 2024, they play at Ohio State, at USC, Michigan at home. Then you get Michigan at Michigan State. Northwestern also comes out on the losing side as well. Road trips in 2024 to Ohio State, to Purdue, to UCLA, and then they get home dates with USC and Nebraska there as well. Like, their schedule got harder. I think, you know, the biggest winners are those teams in the East. You know, some of those teams in the West who have been kind of scraping by to get six wins, get to a bowl game, and things like that. Their schedule is going to get harder. It is definitely a way more balanced schedule, a fair schedule, I think, for everybody as well. You know, Purdue comes out pretty easy too. They're probably the winner in the West. You look at their 2024 conference opponents, you get Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Wisconsin on the road, Nebraska, Northwestern, Penn State, USC at home. That's not terrible. You move to 2025. They pick up Michigan and Ohio State, but you drop USC, you drop Penn State. So I think if you're going to pick an overall winner on schedules, that's not terrible. For that, but to me, you know, the fans also win. I think you get to see a conference that's definitely more balanced. You get to see some opponents you haven't seen in a while, and you have a chance to win some more games, which is always fun from a fan's perspective as well. So go ahead.
You mentioned that 24. I was just looking at Illinois. They also play Kansas. And the non-conference, obviously, that program has come a long way. That's not any pushover. That program is really, you know, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. That is a brutal schedule in 24 for Illinois. You're not kidding. That is brutal. I mean, that looks like the schedule that Indiana AD would put together for the football program.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. You're exactly right. And I hate picking on Indiana's athletic department, but now that you have a more balanced schedule, you're going to have to schedule smarter. You're going to have to pay attention to when you schedule guys, how far out you schedule it. Now, we've seen it. If 2020 taught us anything, is that these games don't have to be scheduled a decade in advance. They could be scheduled a year or two in advance. When you know who your conference opponents are going to be, how many conference home games, how many conference road games, and all that stuff. It's, you know, you kind of want it, like a football general manager to just oversee it to where, hey, you're going to focus on scheduling. You're going to focus on whatever the minutia of covering a football team and things like that. You know, stadium upgrades, scheduling, NIL stuff, all that stuff. That needs to be its own department because they need to pay better attention to, while it might sound great to play Notre Dame in 2030, is that really a sound, smart decision? Because you might get stuck with that year. You're playing Notre Dame, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. You might get that schedule where you go and look at it, you go, well, there's five losses there. Where are you gonna get your wins? So yeah. I think that in the next move, and that's not just Indiana's athletic department. I think you'll see a lot of Big Ten athletic departments have somebody like a scheduling guru to do that. And also, you know, who knows in 4 years what college football is gonna look like. It could be two super conferences. You know, Washington and Oregon could join the Big Ten. Notre Dame could be a conference opponent. You know, who knows? But going forward, you got to try your darndest to get out of this Louisville series and make it mutual, whatever, pay to get out of the contract, whatever. You know, I know I'm spending money that's not mine, but pay to get out of the contract. Go schedule whoever you can schedule on short notice. That's a winnable game. And if you could get through 2023 with 5, 6, 7 wins, you're kind of in business, especially if you get out of that Louisville series in 2024.
Yep.
So any final thoughts on the schedule, Matt?
No, I think that's about it. It's just, you know, it's just, it's kind of an exciting day. Obviously for not just Indiana, but for the entire Big Ten, now we know when you're going to play the new teams from the West. And then, I mean the West Coast, and then also from, you know, what it's going to look like without division. So, like I said, I think you made a great point about 20 and about non-conference scheduling, because, you know, you can really set this program up, you know, to have some success if you can get those non-conference games right. And then obviously you still got to win some games in the conference, you know, to get where you want to go. But it's become much more manageable with this new format.
Yeah, it has. It has become much more manageable. Anything was much more manageable than the Big Ten East. And I think I put that on the number one takeaway, is that the Big Ten East is dead. Thank goodness. Because it really made it hard. Some of the best IU teams that we've seen in recent memory fell victim to the Big Ten East. And you know what? It wasn't as fun or as cool when Ohio State came to town, where it used to be, instead of every other year, it was maybe once every 4 years or once every 5 years, and it was like a big, big deal. You saw crowds go down. I think this will help attendance in a lot of ways for a lot of schools as well, which, you know, with TV attendance, I don't know if it matters, but with TV making it so easy to watch multiple games, you got to get draw fans into the games and things like that, and hosting a team like UCLA, and getting some of the, like, if Nebraska gets back on the home schedule, some teams that you haven't seen. And I think that's what fans are also looking for, some variety, some new teams, because it got stale seeing Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and all that stuff. And I'm glad they kept Michigan State on the schedule, because I do think that the old brass platoon game was gaining some momentum, and I think that's pretty good for, you know, not just IU's fan base, but for Michigan State's fan base as well. It's anything to build up the college football culture at IU helps, and I think having a trophy game against Michigan State and having that on the schedule helps that. But Matt, any other news out of the recruiting world? I know it was a busy week for IU recruiting with these in-state camps, but is there more busy weeks in the future?
Yeah, starting here in about, you got some official visits coming up. The first big one will be the weekend of the 16th. I think there's eight or nine guys set to visit. And then, there'll be some kind of midweek type things. And then, the 23rd the 23rd will be another big weekend. That one's looking like over a dozen guys, and that list could grow. I mean, I'm getting stuff almost every day. But June is a big month. This is official visit month. And right now I think Indiana is at 7 commits. Would not be shocked if by the end of the month, they're pushing double that. I'm not saying they will, but it wouldn't shock me. I would be more surprised if they only get a couple commits than if they got 5, 6, 7 commits. So I think they'll add some more guys. And, you know, it should be an exciting month for the program, because, you know, obviously recruiting is a big part of it. And they've got some good dudes coming in. There are some quality players coming in. Some of them are going to wait till their season. But, you know, a lot of times guys say that and then they end up committing at the end of June because they just want to get done with it and they're tired of dealing with it. And July is a dead period, so there's not much going on there. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. I think they've got off to a pretty solid start so far in this class, you know, and we'll see how they can finish off.
Yeah, as always, thank you, Matt. You can read him on Pigs.com and follow him on Twitter at MB_Weaver as well. Enjoy watching future Yankee third baseman Ellie De La Cruz while you still can. Hitting rockets all over the park, and, you know, enjoy the summer. We'll talk again soon. Anyway, that does it for today's podcast. If you haven't, hit HoosierHuddle.com. We have all the schedule breakdown, initial thoughts. We'll have more thoughts from the rest of our writers at HoosierHuddle.com as well. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We have some important competitions going on for best logo on the podcast network. We took down the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame last week. We're taking on the Sons of Saturday from Virginia Tech. So we need your help there as well. Come click vote and everything. Enjoy the rest of your week. And football will be here as soon as summer's over. But I'm not going to wish away summer vacation. Somebody else could do that for me. But enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the breakdown of the schedules as well. And, you know, dream of that trip out to USC. Start saving. So Matt, Rabbi, and I don't have to road trip the 2,500 miles where somebody is sure to not make it out of there alive. So thanks for joining us.